cumbia de la
Take it away.
Welcome to Building Bridges. I'm Sebi.
I'm Jan.
And I'm Dave.
And this is a Eurovision podcast for the rest of us.
Yes, and we are so thrilled. We're starting a new series today, a weekly series, because, of course, national final season is over. As of Saturday, we have all 37 entries, so we can start dissecting them, analyzing them. And of course, we're not going to do that alone. We're going to build some bridges across Europe. And our first one is to Scotland with a new friend who I'm thrilled to have on, especially since it's cleared up some things. I thought we were inviting Scott from Scotland, from ESC Scott, but no, that would have been too lucky, too convenient. We've got Dean with us from ESC Scott. So do you want to introduce yourself and tell us about your social media?
Yes, no worries. So I am Dean. I am from ESC Scott. I'm the head writer of ESC Scott, which I started 3 years ago because I had no one to talk about because of the Eurovision Song Contest. So I was like, I'll grow a little community that enjoys it. And yeah, I've been to the last three editions. I've enjoyed it so much. I've got other members that I've took on, which is insane. I absolutely love it, and I'm thrilled to be joined here on the podcast talking about Eurovision. That was my goal, and I cannot tell you how many people, when I was in Malmo, came up to me and said, "Hi, Scott." So you're not the one that made that mistake. Definitely not.
No, we can set the record straight now for sure.
Yeah, it was a lot of confusion when I heard, you know, oh, we're inviting ESC Scott, and then, oh, I will call Dean. I will let him know. I was like, Scott or Dean, who are we having? Now that's cleared up.
Wonderful. It happened too much, but I'm glad we've cleared up.
Yeah, and definitely, like, so happy to have you here. And now, of course, you've got three more people if you ever want to chat Eurovision. You'll never be alone with no one to talk to Eurovision about, because that's literally all we do.
Very niche.
Yeah, it is. I'm so, so glad, because literally no one around me, none of my friends, none of my family really love Eurovision. So it's really, really amazing when you meet a community that loves it.
Well, imagine living in Canada, where not only do your friends and family not know what it is, but nobody knows what it is.
No. I literally couldn't understand, couldn't relate.
No. Well, that's a good segue. Should we get into it and look at the first half of semi-final one? I can't believe we're here. We're talking, it seems like Malmö was, you know, not that long ago. Yeah, but we don't have a running order, although Sebi, you did post on TikTok what you predict.
We have a running order prediction. Yeah. We can go by that.
Which was quite good, I guess. But, we go in alphabetical order, I guess. And we can start with Estonia. Slightly controversial entry, Tommy Cash with Espresso Macchiato. So Dean, you want to start us off with your thoughts on what Mr. Cash is bringing to Basel?
Yeah, definitely. I really, really appreciate this as a studio track. I think it's a really, really, really great song. I think, well, from the first listen I do, I really enjoy it. I never, ever skip this when it comes on my Spotify playlist. I'm definitely listening to it. However, when I watched the live performance at Estelo, that's kind of when it slightly fell apart for me, and it still is ever so slightly falling apart every single time I'm listening to it. It has put me off the song a little bit. I do enjoy it still. I just cannot stand the staging. If the staging doesn't change for Basel, I struggle to see how I'm going to enjoy this, because I just cannot, I can't shift my mind from what I saw at SDLL, and if they don't change it, all bets are off.
Yeah, you know, it's never a good thing when you start off by saying, well, let's talk about the studio version, because you know what's coming. Although we did publish an article that came out of Italian news the other day that apparently there's a group of grandmothers in southern Italy that have been dancing to Espresso Macchiato. And he commented on the post and said, I found my singers for Eurovision, or my dancers for Eurovision. So probably a joke, but hey, you never know. You could change it up.
Definitely would make it more interesting than it was. I would rather that.
Yeah. We get some Italian babushki and recreate 2012.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with what you said, Dean, because I actually liked the song when it came out, when the Estee Lauder songs were released, and I listened to it a lot. And then, yeah, I was really thrown off by the live performance as well. It kind of gave me, when we're talking about 2012, it gave me a bit of Euro Neuro, Rambo Amadeus vibes, you know, like really the kind of joke entry that doesn't make the audience laughed. It kind of just seems like it's mocking the contest a little bit. And yeah, he's still doing that dance in the music video that came out, I think, today or yesterday. So yeah, I don't think this will be one of my favorites of the season.
I think this is, like, really, as you guys said before, it's all about how well produced the studio track is, and it really works. But I can definitely hop on that train about live performance, which is like at some point it's also cringy a little bit, you know, and also like it's really it's appealing to this different target group, I would say, which is enjoying that. And we saw that everybody was like clapping along and, you know, enjoying that. But it was probably just in favor of him being a well-known act in Estonia. It ain't no secret that his marketing strategy is working, you know, collaborations with Just, Klein, and with Caria, yeah. If I'm not mistaken, you know, so this really works in his favor. So also perfect timing when Estee Lauder's YouTube account was, you know, deleted immediately, and so was all the performances. So it really works like this great marketing machine, which is definitely appealing. He also showed up in some of TV shows in Italy because of the controversy and dividing the audiences, you know, like, or if they're like enjoying it, or if some of them are saying it's, you know, at some point very, or disrespectful, or, you know, comparing and using those stereotypes. So it's definitely one of the ones which is standing out by how not like interesting it is, but like by how many attention it's getting, you know. But yes, I think live performance isn't really my cup of tea, even though it's not even that much of a singing in Espresso Macchiato, if we're completely honest. I think any decent person could be able to sing that out. But I think I could also blame maybe bad sound in this studio, or maybe just that he's not a really good singer. But, you know, that was never the case. You can also reach the finals, even if you're off key the entire performance. We had a lot of those. We are not having any names, but, like, you know, you can never know. It's definitely a popular choice. And but
especially the jury's gone in the semis.
Yes, yes. So it's going to be, I think he's a sure qualifier, though, just out of televoting aspect.
You're being too generous, Jan. I think, like, I'll pile on again. Before I read the lyrics and before I saw the live performance, this was one of my probably more preferred entries, because it's one of those just bops you don't really need to pay attention to, and it's fine. But after the performance, after I looked at the lyrics, it, I don't know. I'm on the train where it's too cringy. The stereotypes of it, it's not for me. I know the EBU won't look at this, but because they're busy looking at other things that they probably shouldn't be looking at these days. But we won't talk about that tonight. It's going to qualify. I might bop to this in Basel a bit, but after that, I'll condemn it to the annals of history, and that'll be it. So, out of 10, how would you rank it, Dean?
I enjoy it, but I don't. I enjoy it, I don't not enjoy it, so I will literally, I'd just say 5. Literally, yeah. 5.
Fair. Sebi?
3. For the song, just for the studio version. The life deserves nothing.
But this is so hard. Like, I mean, when you have this great studio track and the live performance isn't like really like doing a favor. Let's say let's put a solid five. And maybe see if we're ranking it out of 10, right?
Yeah, out of 10.
Of course. Yeah.
And kind of where Sebi is, I threw a 4 at this. So that's 17 out of the four of us, 17 out of 40. So that's not a pass, but let's see if that's in our top 10 by the time this is all said and done after next week's episode. Yes. Well, maybe that's where we're going. And going north to Iceland with Vi with Róa. I don't know if you saw the national final version of this in Sognakeppnin or if you've just heard the studio edition, but what are your thoughts about Iceland this year?
I do like the song, and I really like the guys, the boys. I don't know if you watched the live stream that Gabe did. I think it was last week. They are just genuinely nice, nice guys, and they really love Eurovision. I love it when Eurovision fans go to Eurovision. I absolutely love that. It's a hard one. I like this song. It's fun. I'm guaranteeing that it's going to open the semi-final. Oh. And it's rare. Except Malta last year. I can't remember the last time that the opener didn't qualify. It's rare on the first semi-final. I feel like they're definitely going to qualify because of that. But I don't think it'll do anything in the final. I don't think it'll get up to like left-hand side of the board, but I think they'll get a decent enough score. I really do think, because it's fun and it will struggle to crack the top 10, but I enjoy it. I think it's fun.
Yeah, I agree with you. And they have such a good sense of humor. I subscribe to their YouTube channel immediately because they make these really short YouTube videos, like 1 minute or something, and they just say the most random things, and it's so hilarious. Like, oh, we are number 33 in the odds right now, and we're trying to reach number 32. And, you know, they're hilarious, and I love it. It's such positive energy. I feel like this is, you know, people compare this to Jedward, but I think they're a lot less obnoxious compared to Jedward. I don't know if it's qualifying, to be honest. I see a lot of people having it as non-qualifiers, but at the same time, I think it's such good energy, so positive, that I do feel that televoters might pick up the phone for it. I think it's in my personal qualifiers for sure, and I quite like it.
Well, I think it is quite a nice entry, and it's quite catchy as well. There was also a lot of attention, you know, with the song being a part of Icelandic national selection. But I think it's fun, I think it's campy, I think it's uplifting. About qualifying, I think this could be televoting material, but like if so, I would say very much borderline, so it's not like it's 100% guarantee. But on the other hand, I think it's fun, but as Dean said before, I'm not entirely sure how this will do in the finals.
Have you heard the translation of the lyrics? Do you know what they're saying?
No.
It's not talking about like going.
Yeah, I looked
like, up. Row about.
So the chorus translates to row here, row there, rowing through the waves. There's nothing that can stop me now. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. So when I learned that kind of took a little bit of the enjoyment away from it. I think they're kind of borderline qualifier. I'd like to see a bit more from them in Basel than we saw in Sognakeppnin, obviously. Like, they've got time to improve that and make some changes. I know they were really disappointed not getting there last year, so this was kind of like their revenge, almost. And I wonder, too, if this should be added to the list of joke entries for this year, because it's kind of there for me as well. I like the
joke.
Yeah, but okay, well, then the non-serious bit. Well, I guess the joke is the rowing. Like, where are they rowing? I know they're an island, but still, you'll freeze. I mean, come on. I don't know. I like the beat, but, like, after you've heard this, like, it just gets repetitive. It's one of those that just over and over and over. So it's a long 3 minutes for me. So, I don't know what's going to happen with this, but hopefully, if they're an opener, they'll attract enough attention, and, yeah, they might squeak through. So Dean, how did you settle on this one? What would you give it out of 10?
Personally, I like it. I'm going to give it like a 6.
I will also give it a 6 because I think it's fun and it's campy and it's, you know, it's going to be a great party when we will hear this in Euroclub in Basel.
I will add one for the personalities, so I'll give it a 7.
So I'm going to be the Scrooge here, I guess, and I'll give that a 5 out of 10. So that's a 24 out of 40 overall, so they're our new lead out of 2 songs. I think our next one might attract a bit more attention, maybe some divisiveness and some comments. We'll move on to Poland, to Justyna's Gaia. So another song that went through our national final and won. So we've kind of had a hint at staging, not to say that we'll see the same thing in Basel. But yeah, so Dean, what do you make of Justyna in Poland?
I will admit, I've actually not listened to this as much as the others. I've listened to it maybe a few times as it's came up on my playlist. It's similar to me with the situation with Estonia. I like the studio track. I love listening to it, the few times that I have listened to it. But the staging needs changing, or it just needs tweaking slightly. The staging in the national final was just all over the place. It does need a bit of changing. I'm assuming that they have something in mind, because I'm sure that at the end she's like lifted up into the air. They can't do that for a start, so I'm assuming they're changing that. Personally, it's not my cup of tea, like the staging wise, the live performance, but I'll happily listen to it and think it's a great song. But yeah, they definitely need changing the staging. It's definitely going to qualify 100%. I definitely think this is a sure qualifier for me, but then yeah, I don't see the juries really giving this much. I know that the televote's definitely going to favour this over the jury, but I don't know where this is going to come in the final. This is one I have no idea about until I see like rehearsals and stuff. I have no idea.
Yeah, I think that's the typical case with Poland. Like usually the televote loves them and the juries completely ignore them. And I think I agree with you. It's going to be similar with this one. But yeah, it's a sure qualifier, especially because if we look at the lineup, there's only 2 female vocalists in the entire lineup. That's Justyna and then Beatrice from Škodra Elektronika. So I think that will already save both of them. And I like the song in the studio version, and like Polish people love it. They are obsessed with this entry. I just think this wouldn't work anywhere outside of Eurovision. This is the typical like Eurovision package where she's floating and then she's spinning and then she's doing the violin. It's like they took all of the steps from Love, Love, Peace, Peace. And yeah, I think the staging needs a lot of fixing. I do love her energy though. And like, she's one of the oldest participants and she has the most energy out of all of them, arguably. I like the song and I think it will qualify, but it will need, I would go for entirely different staging for Basel, for sure.
I have to say that seeing her back in Eurovision after 30 years, it's fantastic, I would say. And she looks fantastic and she's performing fantastically. And finally, her time has come after all the fiascos over the years. Yeah. But I have to say, even though the stage was messy, very much messy, I would still say that was probably the best staging in that national final. It was like all over the place, but like it really worked. It was screaming Eurovision, which is, as you said, Sebi, before, it wouldn't work anywhere outside of Eurovision. I can hardly think of her performing that song in a TV show in Poland after Eurovision, because like it would be, you know, you really need like this specific lights. You need like, I don't know, dancers. You need, you know, like there's so much of stuff you can just like put there in a show and perform it, because it really is made for the stage. I think this is definitely a sure qualifier. And since she really can control her voice incredibly, I have a feeling that also a jury might give it a point or two for that as well. I enjoy it. I actually really like it. And as for now, I think this is, from all of the songs we've been talking to, I think this is, as for now, my favorite. And I cannot wait to see what she will do in Basel, because like I really do enjoy it.
But can you still pronounce the name of the Polish national final, Jan, that you got complimented on by Kuba and by Sonia when we interviewed them?
Well, you know, it gives me, like, being a favor that I'm, you know, from a Slavic speaking country, is that, like, so I can just predict how that works, you know, in a way. Right now, I think I should, I don't even remember how was it called. So I think I should just, if I would
saw it, I would probably, something, wasn't it?
Kwalifikacje Polski in something-ish, yeah.
Well, anyway, yeah, I really agree with what Dean said about the staging. The one thing I did really like, and, well, I mean, not that it's bad, per se, but, I mean, I just find myself not as interested in the song as I feel like I should be. Like, I'm watching the performance, I'm looking down at my phone, and I look back up, but the one thing that gets me every time is that part towards the end where she hits that really long note and everything's kind of circling around, and I think that's what you were alluding to, Sebi, like, that's the Eurovision-y part of it, you know? So that was done quite well, and like Jan said, her voice is, it's hard to fault. The thing I like about this the most, though, is that most Polish fans adore this, or they seem to anyway. And again, like Jan, as you alluded, it's hard going forth because you all said everything I want to say. there's been very little drama in Poland this year as a result, so I'm thrilled with that. So the Poles are happy, I'm happy.
Everyone was shocked that Poland had a normal national final without any scandal.
Yes, and the drama this year was elsewhere, but we'll come to those countries eventually. We definitely will. All right, so back to Dean. Out of 10, what did you think of Gaia?
I'm going to give a 7, my highest yet. Definitely my favorite of the three so far.
Yeah, I give a 7 as well.
I'll go with an 8, because like it really is very good one as for now.
Wonderful. So I get to be the mean one again. because like I said, it's something I feel like I should like this song, but I find myself not listening to it, and it's not on my playlist. But I do respect it and her vocals, so I gave it a 6. So that would give us a 28 out of 40, and we have a new leader. And off to the other end of Europe now. We fly all the way down to Portugal, where the group Napa won Festival da Canção with Deslocado. And that was, of course, the night of Melfest. So, Dean, I don't know if you you got to watch in Portugal or if you watched Sweden or what you did, but hopefully you've heard or seen the song since. And what are your thoughts on what Portugal is sending this year?
Well, I managed to catch the results, and I watched the Portuguese national final. This was actually one of the ones I did enjoy, so I wasn't, like, devastated that this had won. I actually really did quite like that this had won. It's such a sweet song. It really is, and it's performed really, really well by the boys. I don't know if the regular, obviously, because we're Euro fans, we know what to expect, but the regular viewer of this in the semi-finals, I don't know if they'll connect with this. It just doesn't seem like something that someone would pick up the phone for. I mean, in past experience at Eurovision, these type of songs just don't ever seem to qualify if they don't have something extra special about them within the staging or the vocals. This just doesn't have anything that I feel like people would like grip onto for the whole 3 minutes. The one thing I will say, though, is that Portugal definitely are just their own... They're their own genre at Eurovision. Every single year, they seem to just send their own thing, and they kind of just stray away from what everyone else is doing, and they send something completely different. I never could predict what Portugal will send, because it's just... it's so different, it's so unique. And I'm glad they've stuck to that this year. I just don't know if that's going to work. I don't know if... I really can't see this qualify. I just don't think it will.
Yeah, I think it really depends on when this comes on during the show. Because, you know, if we have Tommy Cash and then we have Justina, who is doing everything she can in 3 minutes, then maybe people will appreciate this really calm and, you know, authentic song. Because this would work outside of Eurovision, unlike Gaia, for instance, you know. These are just, you know... regular people singing in their street clothes, and you know, maybe people will like it. I do think it will be challenging to qualify, but at the same time, you know, Portugal is on a pretty good streak and they have some friends in the semi-final, so I see a possibility. I think it's borderline, but yeah, I think it's a really nice song and I really appreciate that we have this song in the lineup. I actually think the biggest challenge for this will be Ukraine, because they have a similar, you know, band package, and I do think Ukraine has the better song at the end of the day. So maybe this is what will kill them, but I think there's hope for them.
I think, like, when it comes to Portugal, it's you know, it's very nicely done, and I think it's not really meant to be for the Eurovision stage in the first place. But also, if you see it just from this different perspective, I think, like, it felt like, you know, it's like in some other dimension, and it. I don't know if that will result them as a great result in the semifinals or the finals, but it really reminds me on something, on some music world which works out of Eurovision world, as it should be.
I see. Well, yeah, I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention to the Portuguese selection. I don't usually. Again, like Dean said, this is Portugal. They always do their own thing. They've almost got their own genre of music, and it's usually not for me. And I was shocked when Napa won. I've got to say, of the few that I kind of had my eye on, they definitely weren't one of them. And I thought I was really going to hate this, but I tried to be good. I sat down yesterday and I did a fresh watch of their performance again, and I tried to be very unbiased. And Joao's vocals, they're out of this world. So I think that's going to help a lot. Hopefully, when you, like you guys talking about trying to make connections with the audience, I think that's one way they could do that. The fear for me is that the build is a bit too slow. Like, it does build, but it's very slow throughout the song. And I think, like Sebi said, it's going to come down to running order. But overall, I think it's just a beautiful, calming, very zen type of song. And it's well written. It's just something, and that personally for me, it wouldn't find itself on my playlist. But yeah, I hope with some money now thrown at this by RTP, they can get a good staging and maybe squeak through to Saturday. So what do we think? Dean, what did you give it out of 10?
I personally would give it, yeah, again, probably a 5. And I can also guarantee I'd put a lot of money on this being in the dreaded second spot in the semi-final. I forgot to say that. I think it's definitely going to be there.
We agree so far. I put, in my running order prediction, I put Iceland first, like you said, and Portugal in second, which wouldn't benefit Portugal at least. Yeah, but I will give it a 6 because I think it's a pretty nice song.
I'm giving it a 5.
5, and I, again, am the bad guy who gave it a 4 out of 10. So that's a 20 out of 40. So at least it's a pass. It's barely, but it's a pass.
It's not last so far,
right? No, it's not last at all. No, shockingly, so far, not last. Yeah, 3 more to go to close out the half. So Dean, let's move on to Slovenia with Klemen. How much time do we have left? Very interesting early picked, and honestly I haven't heard a lot from Slovenia or about Slovenia since it was chosen. I don't know about you.
It's a really lovely song, easy listen. It's even lovelier when you actually know what the song's about as well. And his vocals are on point. Like, his vocals are really, really good. Throughout the whole performance he stays like perfect, and he gets flipped upside down at some point, and it's magic. Like, it's really, really good. But then yet again, I think this has the same problem for me that Portugal does. I don't know how many people will be able to stay engaged with for the 3 minutes. I don't think this, it's probably easier than Portugal because it's in English. I think a lot more people will connect to it because they'll know what it's about. I don't think they will connect to this. You mentioned earlier, I can't remember what entry was, that you kept looking at your phone up and down. I feel like people will do this, do that with this song. It's an underrated gem, I feel. I feel like not a lot of people are appreciating this. I do quite like it. I know that it won't be a favourite in Basel, but I like it. I really do.
Yeah, I was really surprised when I heard that this was his EMA song, because I remember when they announced the names, I was texting Jan and Dave in the group like, oh my god, Clement is in EMA, because he's so famous in the Eurovision world for his parodies and, you know, his jokey way. I still remember how he announced the points in Düsseldorf in 2011. And yeah, this was not the type of song I expected at all. And I do appreciate like the message and how personal it is. But for me, as a big fan of lyrics, as a big fan of writing, this is just a bit too flat for me. You know, it just says, oh, the diagnose and you were almost dying and how much time. It's a bit too direct for me. Like there's no poetry at all in these lyrics. And yeah, I unfortunately, I know it's like a very personal story to him. I just don't feel it at all personally.
Where shall I start? Clement is a great artist. This is 100% sure. He, as Sebi said before, he has been involved in EMA for so long. His first EMA, actually, I mean, can you imagine? He was hosting EMA 2011. I think that was first ever, the first time that he was hosting EMA. And the first minute of the show, everything went wrong because he was supposed to perform with some interval act and he couldn't hear the music. And he said that that was probably the worst moment of his life, because that was the first biggest, you know, situation for him for hosting a show like this. He's a true professional. We all know that he can sing in his parody videos and stuff. And I think, Seb, you're not the only one who expected a song which would be, which would go more in, like, you know, more in espresso macchiato dimension, more than how much time do we have left. It's a very nice song. The only issue, the main issue I have with it is that I have some sort of issue of not, I can't connect with it in a way that it feels like that lyrics... At some point, the lyrics sounds like they are almost AI generated. They're way too specific. There's, I don't know. Like it's a nice song, but the issue is that, like, I'm usually a sucker for sad ballads. You know, like I really go with, like, I can, I don't know, cry with them whenever they want to. Just like the issue with how much time do we have left is not the case. I really wish him all the best. It's just that I, and also one of the issues that I'm, you know, he just released a music video for it. It at some point, I think the awareness is good, awareness is fine, awareness is all of it. It shouldn't be the main point of you performing on that stage. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, Eurovision is, I mean, more than anything, it's a party. And when, albeit an important message, is so direct, it kind of, you know, sucks the party vibes out of it a bit. And yeah, so I had another listen to this one again the other day. I'll keep this short and sweet. Like, another similar vibe to Portugal. We've got another quiet, slow song in the first half of the first semifinal. So that's unfortunate that, you know, I'm sure they won't be right next to each other, but, you know, they won't be more than a few songs apart. So I gave positive points for his surprisingly strong vocals, and maybe I took a bunch of points away because this sounds almost like an old song that I've heard before, and I don't know how he can elevate the staging any more than he did in Slovenia. I personally don't see this one qualifying. So, we'll do our round, Steam. How did you rank this one?
I am going to say... I'll be generous. I'll say six. I'll say a six.
Okay.
I have it as a five.
Guys, don't do this to me again. Jan?
I have a four.
Ah! Going down the ladder.
Yes, and I precisely gave it a three. So a six and a five and a four and a three. I think that makes 18 out of 40. So, yeah, poor Clement. Certainly won't top our list. All right, let's move on to one of our more recent chosen songs. We'll head up to Sweden and a song I think everybody knows, no matter if you're, well, if you've been on social media, you've definitely seen this the last week or two. It's Kai with Bara Bara Bastu. And Dean, what did you make of the Melfest winner?
Well, pardon the pun, but this is definitely revolutionary for Eurovision and for Melody Festivalen. It's so utterly refreshing to think that a song like this has won Melfest. If you told me that was what was going to happen like 2 months ago, forget it. There was no, like, I cannot believe it. I'm so, so happy about it, though. And you can clearly see why it's won. The reaction to it has been amazing. It's incredibly fun. It's not taking themselves too seriously. That's what Sweden tend to do. I'm so glad. This will probably win the televote, as we can see. I think from the reaction that we've seen so far, I can guarantee it probably will win the televote. I don't think it will win by much. I don't know how the juries will play for this. I don't know if they're going to tank this or not completely. The international juries at Melfest, they gave this quite a bit, but I'll be extremely surprised if this comes top five in the jury vote. I'd love this to win Eurovision. I really would. This is the only potential winner I think we've talked about so far within these seven. I would love this to win. I don't think it's going to happen, even though it is first in the odds currently. I think once we see the rehearsal footage and rehearsal photos from the set when it begins in May, I'm assuming this will probably go down, and I don't think it will end up winning. But I would love it to. I would, but I don't think it will.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think this is 100% winning the semi, probably winning the televote. I think it can win the whole thing because this is an entry that has comedic value without being a joke entry and without... Take notes, Tommy Cash, without making fun of the contest, you know? This feels like we're in on the joke and we're just having a good time, and Tommy Cash just seems ridiculous compared to this. And I think he's sweating a bit, not because he's in the sauna, but because this is his biggest competitor in the semi-final, and it's in the same half as well. Yeah, I love it. As you took all of the words out of my mouth, Dean, pretty much. This is a revolution. I think Gabe said in his video, Mons wanted a revolution and Kai delivered the revolution. So, yeah, amazing entry and 100% qualifier.
You know, guys, when we were talking about how, let's say, I think especially with Tommy Cash, that we enjoyed the studio version and that we weren't really keen on live performance. Well, here's the plot twist. I think this song is not on my top five Spotify playlist just because of one reason, because there's no live version of that song on Spotify. I enjoy this song so much live, more because it has more life in it in live performance than it does in studio version, right? They are so incredibly nice and also, this is why people believe them, you know? Because, I mean, I was in arena when this was going on, and it was, you know, fantastically delivered. And just as we speak, I still have on my TV paused the video from Vinar Numret Reprise, Bara Bara Bastu, because I was just listening to it recently. It's so catchy. I mean, just because they're humorgruppen, I wouldn't say that they're even treat it as a joke, but like it's so genuine, it's so catchy, it works in all different ways. It's finally back in Swedish. Who would have thought that in 2025 that we would hear Swedish from Sweden, you know? It's really incredible, and if you like this or not, it really is a nice way to have Sweden back on top. There's a fandom who was saying, you know, in case if this wins, this is my winner, and I can clearly see why. It will definitely be a televote winner in both semi and in grand final. And when it comes to juries, we saw that they actually, it was very, very close to it, you know, like both Mons and Kai, which means, or shall we say Kash, because they were like really, also they were also international juries involved, so this is also why I wouldn't really, you know, I wouldn't really like see that they won't give them any points. And I think they're off for a very, very, very good result in the competition.
I initially couldn't stand this. I was on Team Mons all the way. Not that I thought he would win Eurovision with Revolution, but I thought it was, you know, what Sweden should send. And certainly he threw literally everything he had, including all of his old papers, at it. All his old garbage on stage, but that's fine. But this song is, it's fucking infectious. Like, I can't stop listening to it. I'm driving to the grocery store, I'm listening to it. I'm at work trying to read something, and I'm going, like, I can't stop. Like, it's taken over my whole life. Again, I know we'll see the same staging in Basel that we saw at Melfest, so, you know, the rehearsal footage and stuff that I think we're not going to see this year until the day of, because I think they've kind of clamped that down, unfortunately. Thank you again, Martin. So I don't know how that's going to affect the overall betting odds and stuff. But the lyrics certainly won't win any awards, but the charisma of Kevin, Axel, and Jakob, I mean, this is some of the best, most fun staging we've seen all national final season, and maybe even in a few years at Eurovision too. And I think that makes up for everything else that might be less good about it. I'm hooked. Malmö 2026, let's go. Come on. I'm here for it.
So here for it. And before we continue, do you guys, did you see the video Melfest posted about how would they practice their press questions at Eurovision? It was so fucking hilarious. Yeah. Because, like, I mean, for me being, you know, Slovenian, it was surprising to see when they were selecting this, and they were like saying, oh, we've been in Bogomolje, which is a town in Croatia, Sweden. It's not even in Slovenia. So this is hilarious. Like, I mean, I loved every bit of it. And yes, here for it all the way.
Well, these numbers should be interesting. Dean, do you want to start us off out of 10?
Easily a 9 as well. Definitely one of my favorites this year. 9.
All right, Sebi.
10, obviously.
Oh, and Jan?
10, of course.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe I still need a little bit further to go, and maybe it needs to take over my life a little bit more, but I'm going to hold off right now and give it a 9. So that would be a 38 out of 40. So strong consensus there for Kai. So yeah, that's, wow, okay. And one more song to go, of course. A recent winner, Ukraine, with Ciferblat, Bird of Prey, but Prey spelled P-R-A-Y, unlike the typical Bird of Prey idiom in English with an E. So, very interesting title anyway. Dean, what do you think of Ukraine's attempt for 2025?
Well, I think the trend of people underestimating Ukraine, I think, continue this year. I think everyone, I think a lot of people do underestimate Ukraine, especially on the lead up to Eurovision. And then when Eurovision comes about, we see the whole package at Eurovision and we're like, love it, love it, love it, love it. I think this is going to be a similar situation. The song is strong. It is strong. The staging at Vidbeer was, I would say, a little bit messy, a little bit kind of, maybe definitely have to change it. But I did see, I think, a video of a clip of them rehearsing, like on the layout of the stage in like a studio. And the stage looks extremely tiny, by the way. And it looks like they're changing it. Like completely, they're overhauling it. They're having the girls that are in the backing vocals kind of involved in the performance more. I saw that. Ukraine knows how to stage. They know how to send a good song to Eurovision. They've sent a good song to Eurovision. This is a good song. It's not the strongest song in the competition this year. I don't think it's the strongest song Ukraine's sent in the past 5 years. It's definitely not. But it's still a good, good song. It's going to be a good performance. I can see the jury's going for this. I don't know who mentioned it, but I think this definitely will have some competition in this semi-final alone. It will definitely qualify though. The jury still love this. I don't know where the televote's going to stand with this, but I enjoy it. And I don't know if the people at home will enjoy this, though.
I love this. I think this is one of my favorites of the entire year, because I love, you know, this kind of has an alternative rock and kind of a throwback to the 70s, which is my favorite decade in music. And it blends this type of genre with a bit of Ukrainian folk. And I think Dave mentioned it with the Bird of Prey, spelled like the prayer, you know. And this entire song is very clever when it comes to lyrics, if you deep dive into the lyrics, which is my kind of thing. And yeah, I mean, it will qualify. I think regardless of the song, Ukraine nowadays has a good shot of qualifying. And I'm saying this as the biggest fan of this song, probably, just because there's so many Ukrainians everywhere in Europe. But yeah, I agree with you, Dean, that people, or especially the Eurovision fans, underestimate this at this point, because the juries will like it, the televoting will probably give it a good amount of points, and I think Ukraine will probably get another top 10. It might not be the third place like last year, but another top 10 result, hopefully.
You know, if Ukraine is good at something, as we said before, it's good in staging. And I'm sure this song, whether you like it or not, will, if we know Ukraine, they will definitely try and deliver something onto that stage, so it will look and sound as it is. Like, I remember the biggest, shall I say, upgrade from the national final for me from 2024 was Teresa and Maria, because like from the stage we saw in Vidber, it was a catchy, nice little song. It worked perfectly, you know, perfect winner for Vidber. But once it was delivered on Malmö stage, I think we were all speechless from the minute we saw the short little clip of performance. I have to say, I am not the biggest fan of that song, but I can totally see this working their way to the top 10, as Sebi said, because as said before, there's a lot of Ukrainians living across Europe right now because of the war which is going on in Ukraine. But still, you know, it really is like it reflects me to the era of this pure music. You know, so it really is going into that direction. Somebody who will be, you know, looking for a girl bops, you know, Ukraine won't be really, you know, his, her, their choice. But I think it's a great song, very, very underrated. But I'm sure they will deliver this by having this great staging in Basel.
So to sum up, Ukraine always kill it with the staging. And I'm sure this year won't be an exception. They're going to send a song people love, and people will love this because, they, like you said, they will get the support. It's out of my wheelhouse again, because this seems to be kind of like, I think Sebi called it alternative rock. I've heard it called prog rock as well. And those are areas that, you know, I'm certainly no expert in, so I can't really critique it on that, because I don't know how a song of that genre should go, because I don't listen to a lot of songs like that. But I'm 100% sure that Ukraine will keep its 100% qualification rate with this, even though it's, again, it's not my cup of tea. And I think they've kind of, Zifferblatt have kind of struck this nice compromise between this traditional kind of alt or prog rock and something that is Eurovision friendly. So I think it will get votes. Positives again, this is unique, it's different, it's going to stand out. But again, for me, personally, it sounds like it's a bit dated a little bit. And maybe even sometimes, like, I feel like the song is going one way, then it kind of goes a different way. It's like almost multiple songs kind of pushed into one song, which is a bit strange. I keep losing, like, the flow of the song. But yeah, it's going to have lots of fans, so I don't feel guilty not adding this one to my playlist, personally. But there we are. So, Dean, your last decision for the night out of 10, where would you put Bird of Prey?
This has been the hardest one to kind of pinpoint a number on, because I really love listening to it, but there are things about it I really want to change. But I would say, right now, 8. I'll still be generous.
I have it as a 9. It's one of my favorites.
Oh, wow. Okay. And Jan?
A 5.
Thank you so much. I also gave this a 5. But Jan and I are always kind of like on the same wavelength when it comes to musical preference, so I'm not overly surprised by that.
Yeah.
So that's a 27 out of 40 for us on Ukraine. So any final comments or any observations from the first half of the first semifinal?
I think overall it's pretty even when it comes to like musical directions, because people say, oh, it's such a joke here. But I think we have, you know, like we have up-tempo songs. We have like really eccentric songs. We have like calmer songs. I think so far it doesn't look as bad as some people say.
I mean, Eurovision at the end of the day is fun. So if anyone complaining right now about the joke entries, you know, it's not fair, because like you have to know that some of the songs, they look differently on the big stage than they do, than they tend to do to look like in their own country. But I would say it's going to be a hell of a lineup when we will have a grand final running order. And it's going to be, you know why it's going to be the best, one of the best ones ever? Because I don't remember when was the last time there was this percentage of countries singing in their own languages. It really works. I don't know a specific number, as I mean, we have we have all of the songs right now. Sebi, do you happen to know how many of them are singing in their own language?
Out of all of them, no. I think it's 5 out of the 7 we talked about. I think only Slovenia is in English.
And no, I mean overall. I say
as no a, idea.
No idea. Okay, half, sure. But a lot, and this is like really really nice way. I remember while being there on site for the first time in 2014, there was like maybe 4 songs out of, I don't know, 30-ish something. Yeah, 37. And the rest was in English. And this is an amazing improvement, saying like that this is this huge machine, which is, you know, delivering the performances, and especially using the opportunity to promote the songs in the languages that people might even learn after falling in love with it. So it's always a good way to go.
Well, our top 3 were Sweden, no surprise there. And then a close second and third, we had Poland in second place, and we had Ukraine in third place. Can you remember what our worst ranked one was out of the 7?
Estonia.
I would say Slovenia. No, Estonia. Was it Estonia?
By 1 point, yeah. We gave Estonia 1 less point than Klayman. So, yeah.
Oh, that's surprising. I thought, wow.
Yeah,
I
was fan favorite.
Poland, Ukraine sounds pretty realistic, what the televote usually goes for. Estonia last, I don't know. Wishful thinking.
Yes.
Yeah. And we won't ask Jan to elaborate on what he thinks of his home country's entry, because that would be cruel. So, Dean, do you want to tell us a bit more quickly about your site and how people can find you on social media?
Yes. So we mainly are on right now TikTok, YouTube and Instagram. They're all at ESC Scott. Come over and join us. I absolutely enjoy it. I'm so privileged to be here, to be asked to come on podcasts like this. Thank you guys so much for having me on. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
And yes, I think this is going to be a few more episodes like this. I'm also so excited to see and also to connect with fellow Eurovision fans all around Europe and globe and everywhere, or universe. As thank you so much again, Dean, for joining us, and also thank you to all of you who have been listening to this episode. We're building bridges pod everywhere, and don't forget to visit our website buildingbridgespod.com
and let us know what you thought of our comments and our thoughts. Agree with us, disagree with us. We would love to start the conversation, and do the same thing over at ESC Scott, because we all want to chat.
Yes. Yes. Do it.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.